Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight I am proud to bring you Spaced Out with Bob Vossler. Greetings and welcome, Bob. How are you?
Hey, Hercules, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Before you start the show tonight, I have a quick announcement to make, and I'm going to ask you to help me with it. I'm going to be on cable again, on local cable, which is now global, as are the YouTube shows and the Blog Talk Radio shows that can be accessible from everywhere, but it's a different platform. And I'm going to be starting up my Star Trek connected adventures there as well. So I'm inviting you to be on that show when it launches. And also, I need you to help me reaching out to Star Trek fandom to see if there's anybody out there who's also enamored of or passionate about Greek mythology, because that's what we'll be exploring.
Sounds awesome. Definitely.
Thank you. I leave you now to your guest. If you need me, I'm here.
All right. Welcome, Mike. How you doing?
Hey, am I coming through loud and clear?
Yeah, I heard a little static myself before. I hope I'm not staticky on your end.
Oh, you're coming through beautifully now. It was a little bit rough at the very beginning, but it seems pretty calm right now. Now, I've got you on speakerphone right now, so I don't have to have the phone jammed up against my ear. If that sounds tinny or doesn't sound quite natural, I can turn it off and just bring the phone a little closer. So how's the audio quality?
You sound wonderful, and I've got you. I'm on speaker as well for the same reasons. So I can't believe we're heading into, we're in May, and we're almost there. Another month or so, and we will be at shore leave. It seems like it's a little earlier this year, or maybe it's my imagination, or did they pick an earlier week? This year?
No, not really. It's just the turn of the calendar, that's all. For example, Mother's Day, we're so used to it being around the 8th or 9th, but since it's always the second Sunday in the, in the month, with the way the days fell this year, it's just a little bit different. Mm. Historically, it's the second weekend of July most years, and it just happens to be that right around the 1st of July was the first one. So that's why we're July 7, 8, 9 this year.
Oh, okay.
So, and it also very much has to do with the availability of the Hunt Valley Inn.
Of course.
We make these arrangements with them years in advance. Sometimes it's a matter of when the hotel's available, too. So, yeah, I remember a handful of years ago, we actually had to have shore leave I think in August, a year or two, and people were not pleased. It definitely threw people's summer plans off. So folks are definitely used to having their shore leave fix in the middle of July every summer. Believe me, I hate to toot my own horn already, but a lot of people, they literally make their summer plans around what shore leave is doing that year. And moving that definitely creates problems for a lot of folks. Some years, I don't recall the exact year. I don't know how long, Bob, you've been coming to shore leave, but I remember some years ago before COVID came along and changed the world as it did, shore leave's weekend was right opposite San Diego Comic-Con. So we had to move because so
that.
Many of our guests, especially our writer guests, were appearing at the same show. So we had to get out of their way, so to speak. It was problematical, but we always try to have it right around the middle part of July. That is the traditional spot for shore leave year to year. So forgive me, Bob. I know you're there. Who else do I have the pleasure of speaking to this evening?
Oh, Hercules is there in the background doing the engineering, but mostly it's you and I. So
okay. Should I call him Hercules or?
Hercules is fine. That's his. Yep. So I still have my Shore Leave 13 t-shirt, and I could still wear it, but I know I started coming the year before. So obviously,
you're so lucky. Not all of us are quite so fortunate that a shirt from 30 years ago still fits so beautifully, you know?
I don't know about how beautiful, but it's maybe a tad snug, but I can still wear it. So that's the important thing.
Let's see if I can remember. Was that like green with the Enterprise on the front?
Yes. It was blue, you know, a blue shirt, but with the Enterprise on the front, looking, you know, it's still a beautiful shirt. In fact, I have two of them, and it's the only time my wife and I will wear, you know, we'll go twinsies, you know.
You and I must be of a similar age, because that, I think, was the first Shore Leave. It wasn't my first Shore Leave, but I think it was the first Shore Leave t-shirt I ever bought,
as far as I can recall.
So we must have started going very close time to each other then.
Yep.
It's bearing down on us. I just can't believe it.
Yep. It's hard to believe, and I've never missed one. So, even during the pandemic, I went to the virtual one. So, you know.
That's right. It was called, as I recall, Shore Leave 41.5 and Shore Leave 41.6, as I recall. So we couldn't really have the official Shore Leave 42, a.k.a. the life, you know, the answer to life, the universe, and everything, until last July. And if those of you out there on the show who are familiar with, you know, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, you'll definitely get that reference. You see, I always try to, as in my position as head of publicity and media relations for Shore Leave since 19 blah, 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 I always like to have a little tagline, you know, on the bottom of my press releases. And I guess I give myself more credit for being clever than actually I deserve, you know. But I clearly remember kind of mentioning like the universe and everything for last year's show. It's all I could think of at the time. But anyway, sorry, that just seemed to jump into my mind for some reason. Sometimes when people ask me so many questions, sometimes I like to turn it around, though, on the folks who are interviewing me. I like to say things like, hey, Bob. Hey, Hercules, how did you guys first hear about Shore Leave, and how long have you been going? So if you don't mind me putting you on the spot a little bit, I'd like to find out how you first found out about Shore Leave all those years ago, and what was it about our little, you know, voluntary sci-fi and media convention that keeps you coming back all these years, hmm?
Well, going way back, I still remember because I heard how much fun it was probably 2 years prior to – 2 or 1 year prior to when I actually went, because I couldn't go that first time. But I heard how much fun it was, and I realized I was missing out on something. So I made sure by hell or high water I would make it the next year, and I did. And I had such a blast that it was just – it just became an automatic thing that, you know, it quickly became a tradition. And, you know, and we spread the word. And this is through my membership with, you know, with Starfleet and the chapter I was on at that time. And then, you know, it became like such a reunion for not only other people within Starfleet, but just other fandom friends that we basically only get to see once a year. So some years,
completely. You hit the nail right on the head there, Bob.
Yeah.
That's
some
perfect.
Years, and don't get me wrong, the guests were always fantastic. But some years it was like, hey, I'm coming just to see, you know, like it's almost a bonus that we have a cool guest or two or three or five or, you know, six going to be there, it, just to get together to see everyone and to party and to, you know, in our younger days, you know, stay up all night and somehow manage to get up the next day.
Absolutely.
You know.
Stay up in our younger days and maybe go to some of those room parties or the pirate parties they used to have.
Yeah.
Don't want to go into too much detail. Your listeners will have to use their imaginations. But, yeah, there were certain things going on. But anyway, But yeah, unfortunately, I'm not able at my point in my life to stay up as I once did. I'm lucky to make it to Masquerade at this point, you know. But
yeah, I'm feeling it too.
They don't call
it
the Big Dog Party for nothing, you know. But yeah, I agree with you completely, and thank you for bringing that up, because when you're younger and you're in love with autographs and things like that, and meeting celebrities and things like that, these are all wonderful things. And we can certainly accommodate you for those who really want to do that, you know. But as the years have gone on, I've definitely come to appreciate seeing our extended fandom family over the course of as time has gone on. Shows like ours and Farpoint in February is just about the only opportunity, you know, to really see a lot of these folks. And as much as we love the programming that takes place there, there is something to be said to just take a little, you know, take it easy once in a while during the course of the weekend and just hang out with people in the paddock bar or, you know,
yeah,
out front or in that what they call the breezeway out front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just find a spot and just catch up with people. That is one of the great joys of it, too. So, I mean, it's real easy for me to wax nostalgic about such things. But, yeah, as you're in fandom for a long time, such a thing becomes more and more important as the years go on. So thank you for bringing that up.
Well, plus for me, I met my wife, even though she was part of you know, a different chapter in Starfleet. I met her at Shore Leave, you know, so was special. And, you know, we never forgot that, and that's where things started. And then, you know, later on, we had our Star Trek wedding there. Now, it wasn't the legal wedding. That was about a month later, you know, the legal one. But we actually had a Star Trek wedding there with our good friends from the Sovereign, the USS Sovereign based in Philadelphia, who had brought in their replica of the bridge. And we had the wedding there, and I wore my, you know, my white uniform and everything else. So it was, you know, that also has a lot of memories for us. And another Shore Leave moment was the year Denise Crosby came down to do, I believe it was Trekkies 2. And, you know, we were both interviewed under the gazebo. And the funny thing about that was, you know, usually I'm the talker, but Emily got in a number of good points, and they used more of her dialogue than mine. And when we finally got to see it, and I think there was more of it on the outtakes towards the end.
Yeah, you were on the cutting room floor, weren't you?
Yeah. They were like, yeah, she
sounds better. Isn't that always what happens?
Yeah.
Hate it when that happens.
But that's okay. She had some good points, and I was just sort of like, yeah. But you've got a great lineup for this year. Well, you always do, but this year in particular looks like there's some old, you know, some old favorites and some new, and you know, we've got Battlestar Galactica and my favorite from Farscape, both Claudia Black and Ben Browder. That's an amazing pair. I can't wait to see them. And
let me tell you, I'm supposed to be very, very, you know, objective when it comes to announcing these things.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to admit that this is kind of like a bit of a dream come true for me. I was a big Farscape fan back when Sci-Fi Channel was actually Sci-Fi Channel and
yeah,
not Sci-Fi. We're showing our
when
age.
Right,
before it became the network that just mainly showed Sharknado movies. But anyway, a very different time, and I never missed Farscape. And although I have seen some of the actors over the years from that show, I had never seen Ben Browder or Claudia Black. And to find out first that we got one, and then we got the other one, and then find out later on. Now, I cannot absolutely verify this. I'd have to do more research. But from what I have heard, those two have never appeared at a convention together on the East Coast.
Wow.
They've done appearances on the West Coast, like at Comic-Con, for example. So they have done a few shows together, you know, in past years, but most of them were way over on the West Coast. This is a major feather in Shoreleaf's cap. So this is really huge from, in my position as the publicity dude, as I like to call myself for Shoreleaf, and personally, just to let you know. So that's no big secret, just how terribly excited I am about this. I think those two will have no trouble maintaining a very, very busy autograph line do very, very well with their photo opportunities too, because everybody's going to want to see them. So we're terribly excited, but you're right. I have to give all the credit in the world to my fellow members of the committee, and especially our guest relations department, for pulling together such a very varied and eclectic guest list, and how many different elements of fandom are so well represented this year. And so many of these actors too, they are what I like to call cross-pollinating each other. They all tend to appear on each other's shows too.
Robert Sabato was also on Stargate.
We tend to think of Ben Browder and Claudia Black as strictly, Farscape people, but they both had recurring roles in Stargate too, didn't they?
Yep, and yep.
Later on, wasn't it after Richard Dean Anderson left the show?
Yep, and Ben Browder kind of took over, and I loved Claudia Black's character. She was very different than Aaron's son in Farscape, and was just a likable little, like they needed a character like that who was just totally – broke the model from the rest of the military types. She was adorable.
Did you want me to go over each of our, what I like to call above the title guests? You've already mentioned several of them. I don't want
to
step on anybody's toes, but did you want me to go over it again?
I like you, I was so excited. I had to mention the two that I can't wait to see the most. Even though there's a lot of others that I also can't wait to see, but why don't you start going over them all?
You'll
give them more better justice than I can.
We've already mentioned Ben Browder and Claudia Black, of course, from the worlds of Farscape and also Stargate SG-1. Of course, for those of you with long back fandom memories, you might recall Ben Browder's also being in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. He was one of the Sovereigns, you might recall.
Mm-hmm.
So like our dear friend Brent Spiner, he has a little experience of being covered head to toe in gold paint. So I don't know if you remembered that or not.
No.
Also, before we move on, tell you more about our guest stars, in case I'm hoping that a great many of your listeners on the Spaced Out podcast will keep up with our official website, shore-leave.com. And on there, it will mention that although all our guests sign at their tables during the course of the weekend when they're available, both Ben and Claudia will be taking place in the official autograph session on Saturday and Sunday, where registered attendees will be able to get one free autograph from each on Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, wow.
Totally separate from their time already at their tables. Of course, as per the Shoreleaf tradition, badge numbers will be called by badge, they'll be called to the autograph line by badge number, as you know. So the lower the badge number, the earlier you go up. But that's also an extraordinary opportunity to get autographs from them with the membership you already have. Let's see. Going back to the guest list, okay, representing the world of Battlestar Galactica, the reboot, not the original, we have Grace Park, who is joining us on Saturday and Sunday, and also a former Shoreleaf guest, Aaron Douglas. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, also from the Stargate universe, specifically Stargate Universe, the actual name of the show, not SG-1 or Atlantis. We have Elena Huffman, who is Lieutenant Tamara Johansson on that show. Regrettably, Stargate Universe didn't quite last the way SG-1 and even Atlantis did, but I did see quite a bit of it, and she was extraordinary in that. So we're very, very happy to have her. A show that people always tell me is wonderful, and this is all on me. I really must find time to watch it a lot more, and that's The Orville. We have The Orville very represented this year because we have an actor named Peter Macon joining us who plays a character named Bordas in that show. And also a actress who appears regularly in The Orville, but is one of those actresses that is just a spectacular character actor who has been in just about everything, and also a longtime friend to Baltimore area conventions, and that's Penny Johnson Gerald. Now, of course, she was in The Orville, but I mainly know her from being Cassidy Yates from Deep Space Nine. So that's mainly what I know her from. So, and she's been to a number of local conventions and has been an absolutely wonderful guest, and we're absolutely thrilled to have her. From the Star Trek universe, and after all, how are you ever going to forget that, right? You can't forget who laid the track down, all right? representing the Star Trek universe, we have Robert Duncan McNeil, Tom Paris himself from Star Trek Voyager. He was going to join us last year, but regrettably, at the last moment, he became ill literally 2 days before the convention. And that is how we were able to get John Billingsley literally at the last second last year.
Who was the screen?
He couldn't attend at the very last minute, and I'm absolutely thrilled that he has agreed to join us again this year. I understand Mr. McNeil has become quite the respected director since his days on the good ship Voyager. So I'm sure he'll be very happy to talk about that aspect of his career too. And of course, the amazing, the incredible, the ubiquitous Robert Picardo, who has been in many local conventions, including a couple of Shore Leaves in the past. Name a series, name a movie, he's probably been in it, okay? It would be very rough over this one phone call to go over the man's entire career. We know him as the Doctor, of course. He was in Stargate and a series back in the day called China Beach that was very, very popular at the time. He also has one foot in the horror and genre of filmmaking community, because he can talk about experiences in such films as The Howling or even Explorers for, you know, a little bit, lesser known title. Usually he was the one who was always stuck wearing lots and lots of makeup, you know, before Doug Jones, you know, did so well with that today. So times in the past, he was always the actor who always put on 100 pounds of makeup for any role, you know? So he can always talk about that. Now, someone else who, and this is a very rare thing, you guys, but we hardly ever have guests 2 years in a row, okay? But this is an actress who last year stepped in for us in a very bad situation, all right, and just charmed everybody, you know, like you wouldn't believe last year. She's a wonderful actress. She's a singer. She's a comedian. And absolutely wonderful with the fans, but we felt bad that we had no real opportunity to let people know that she was there. So we did a kind of a rare thing, and we made it a point to invite her back, and that's Bonnie Gordon. She is mainly known for her role as the ship's computer in Star Trek Prodigy. She's had voice roles also in Shield of Tomorrow and Street Fighter as well. So we're very, very happy to have her back. Now, these guests that I have mentioned, okay, that doesn't even include the 40-some professional writers we're going to have again, the 12 or 15 professional scientists we're going to have again, the performance artists like the incredible Boogie Nights that have been with us wow, even longer than I've been there, okay? They probably go back to, like, shore leave two or three times, okay? So much further back than even I did. That's how long the Boogie Nights have been coming there. A group called the Chromatics is also going to perform. They are more recent. They're also incredibly popular. So literally there isn't really time to go through the entire guest list. But sometimes I like the joke saying, how do we have room for anybody in this hotel with all these writers and scientists also joining us, you know? You know, it's hard to imagine that there was a time when, and this takes you back, Bob, to the earliest days when you would come to shore leave. Let's see how good your memory is, Bob. Do you remember when shore leave for years and years only had two writers?
Oh, man, I always thought there
were
always
bonus points if you can tell me who they were.
Oh my gosh.
Do,
I can't think of his name at the moment, but
Howie and Bob. How can you miss that one?
Yeah.
Howard Weinstein and Bob Greenberger. One started at Shore Leave 2, the other started at Shore Leave 3. That ought to give you some idea what a huge part of Shore Leave these guys are. Okay? So, and I think over the last 40-some years that they've been coming, I think Howie has missed 1 year, and I think Bob Greenberger missed 1 year.
Wow.
That's how steady these guys have been for us. So for many, many years, any of you out there who are not familiar with Shore Leave lore or how our reputation was built over all these years, okay, you can't really talk about shore leave in general, and certainly not about the building up of all of these incredible writers we get every year, without starting with Howie and Bob, because they were there pretty much at the very beginning for us. And you know that old shampoo commercial where they used to say they told two friends and they told two friends and so on and so on and so on? That's how I describe it. And before you know it, two professional writers became six, and six became 10, 10 became 20. And before you knew it, we literally were in a situation where we had a hard time finding room for them all, because it became a way of networking with their friends and colleagues in the professional writing field. They were able to meet their fans, sign a few books, and maybe, just maybe, network with each other and come up with new ideas, you know? So it's both a social occasion and it's a business occasion, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, and that is just something that's just grown over 40 years. And that's another thing that makes the Friday night Meet the Pros party, usually starts at 10 on Friday nights most years, a tremendous success. So Shore Leave was never built to be a literary convention the way, say, Balticon is over Memorial Day weekend. But we certainly do that have – we do have that element of it. And it's just one of those little extra things that makes Shore Leave so unique and so special.
It's part of the big flavor that Shore Leave has that no other con really has, that they've got a little sprinkling of just about everything.
That's right. And also, I didn't really mention much about the science programming track. Name me many conventions outside the Baltimore metro area that has professional scientists come in to talk about the latest discoveries in science fact. Some of these folks that you will see appearing this weekend have been doing talks at Shore Leave for 20, 30 years straight themselves. True, they're not well known the way actor guests are, but to those in the scientific community, they're very well known and very well respected, and they always give very, very good talks, let me tell you. And as the years have gone on, we've had a hard time finding rooms big enough to put them in because they become more and more popular all the time. The only problem is, and I joke about this all the time, is that you will very rapidly find yourself wishing that there was about a half dozen of you, because there is simply no way to get all the things you want to get to. It just can't be done.
Yes, that's true. That is so true that you look at the schedule and say, oh, how am I going to go to that when I have to go to this? Or, oh, I missed this because I was at that. And, you know, like, and then you, this con has also brought fans themselves who have particular expertise in a certain area or a certain show to become panel, you know, to run a panel and to express their own, you know, knowledge and or even to point a question out there to people. And
yes, there are a couple different kinds of panels, Bob. You have the professional panels with the writers. And believe me, they're on a lot of them. And the vast majority of our writers are only too happy to appear at these panels, either separately or with a group of their colleagues. They also do what's called workshops. Have you ever taken part in a writer's workshop?
You would think that I would have, but I don't think over all these years that I've had the opportunity to do that. I've got to make some time and do that.
So they also do that. And then you have what are called fan panels. This is what I am most expert at because, gee, what made you think of this? But any opportunity I have to espouse my rather large number of opinions on, I'm only too happy to jump in there, you know? I always joke at the start of almost every panel I'm on, I'm saying, listen, I didn't write any books. And I don't have any degrees on the subject. So what am I doing up here? Well, I'm more opinionated than most, and I'm as talkative as any. And that's quite a combination. So that's why people see me up at the front of those tables so much, because I've got all these opinions I want to get out, but I also want to hear what the other fellow fans have to say. I mean, it's real easy for a guy like me, the way I'm wired, to just monologue, but the best possible panels are where people are bouncing ideas off each other. And everybody's opinion is valid, and everybody gets along. Mm-hmm. And how many other things can you really say that about what the world is the way it is right now?
Exactly, exactly. And I know I've done a number of panels over the years at Shore Leave, and you know, for the first few I was kind of a little terrified about, but they turned out to be in the smaller room, so I was comfortable. But I still remember Shore Leave, I must have been 40 because it was a milestone year, and that's why I suggested it, looking at the schedule and saying to the powers that be, hey, you don't actually have a panel on what I would figure you would have on your anniversary, your milestone anniversary year. Surely, the episode. And they're like, no, we don't. So, you know, and it was funny because I even had to bring the DVD of both the animated sequel. And we just had a lot of fun dissecting that both episodes and going over things that, you know, and even during the course of it, realizing, hey, that's something I didn't even think to put in the outline of what we were going to talk about. And it was so much fun. It was on the big stage. So that was like, oh, boy, I've hit the big
time. Oh, they had you on the spot, huh?
Yeah, but it was so much fun. I will never forget that. And it was only a few years ago.
Yeah, you know, I like to tell folks who are new to the convention world and everything, who are nervous about it, I always try to tell them, go one day, and if you can't find something that interests you, then I don't know what to tell you, because there is, I know this is a very hackneyed expression, but there is literally a little something for just about every kind of fanish taste there, okay? So there's all kinds of choices, more choices than you'll know what to do with. And best of all, again, I'm not the first person to come up with this line, but you're going to find out that you have a lot of friends that you didn't realize you had. You know, a whole lot of friendships have been made over the years at that convention. And in your case, marriage too, you know, people believe that things like this don't happen who've never been to a convention. You know, it's either you get it or you don't. And I try to tell a lot of folks, you know, yes, these things actually do happen. So you know, mm-hmm. and that's, you know, I think it might have been Majel Barrett, actually, for the first Trekkies movie, said something along those lines, where if you go to a convention and you don't think you have any friends, go to a convention and you'll find out that you do, actually.
Yes, that is so true. And people that will come up to you that some it can be embarrassing because you'd be like, I don't remember their name, but I know their face, and I, you know, we've had good times, and I know they're friends, but we haven't seen them in years. You know? But it is always like such a nice reunion of friends and fans and just doing the catch up. And sometimes you're heading to a panel or even a guest, and then you go down the hallway and you bump into somebody, and you may not end up getting to where you intended to get to because you're,
believe me,
you know,
it happens constantly, because what I do is as soon as the schedule is published, I just find a corner and I just start circling. So I think I've got every minute of the weekend planned out, right? And that's great, but it doesn't leave you much room for spontaneity. You run across mm-hmm. somebody you haven't seen in a long time, you're going to find yourself saying, oh, I missed that entire show, you know,
yeah.
because you lose track of time. And that's, hey, what are you going to do, right? Luckily, most of our guests will appear at least twice on stage during the course of the weekend anyway. So if you miss mm-hmm. them the first time, you can try again the second day, you know? But, yeah,
absolutely.
You can't overschedule yourself too much because you have to allow yourself the opportunity to be, what's the word, spontaneous, right?
Exactly. And I know the fans also appreciate the forum that, you know, that allowing us to have, like, meeting time and table space to be there, to add to the atmosphere. And, you know, it works out so beautifully for both, you know, because, and it's almost like penned in like part of the schedule, you know, if the request didn't come in, I'm sure it's like, wait a minute, something's wrong here. You know, we appreciate that, you know, as being part of the clubs, because, you know, it serves as another chance to bring us all together, you know, and to discuss.
And one thing that a lot of people don't know, I almost shock people when I tell them this, but an element of fan-run conventions that I've noticed also, something that I'm extremely proud of, is the fact that there is a lot of charity going on.
Yes.
At a convention mm-hmm. such as ours, okay? Or really any fan-run con. I mean, among the things that we have had going all the way back almost to our very founding, okay, was the Red Cross Blood Drive
mm-hmm.
and our association with the Maryland Food Bank, okay? These things go mm-hmm. back many, many years, okay? So we're very, very proud of that, okay? For many years, we helped a great deal, although the people at Farpoint actually were much more at the center of organizing it. But we always try to help out when the Julian Fleming Memorial Fund was going. I'm sure you recall that. So that's always been very important.
Was very much involved with that, yeah.
I can't say with 100% certainty how it's being set up this year. There were a few shore leaves right before the pandemic where we would have a couple of different charities that would be represented at shore leave, and funds would be collected for them. I'm not quite sure how it's being set up this year yet, so everybody needs to check the website under charities to get the specific mm-hmm. details. We're still working on the details as far as whether or not we're going to be able to do a live thing for the Red Cross Blood Drive this year, because they don't really have blood mobiles like they used to. They used to have mm-hmm. a blood mobile out for a day or two
yeah.
every single shore leave. They kind of got away from that.
Yeah.
But we are still working on doing something this year. But like I keep telling everybody, keep checking the website But yes, I've always been extremely proud. Am I still coming through okay?
Yes, you are.
Because sometimes your signal's fading out a little bit. But I've always been extremely proud of, no matter how the economy is year to year, charities always do very, very well at Shore Leave, and the response has always been fantastic, you know, no matter how good the economy may be that particular year. And that is just another sign of, especially if it's fellow fans who are in need, there is just something about fellow fans understanding and supporting each other during the worst possible times. These are things that draw me even closer to fandom and make me very, very proud to talk about. And a lot of folks who are not familiar with science fiction and fantasy fandom and to conventions, whether pro or fan-run conventions, they are just generally not aware of this element of it. And I like telling folks about it because I really think it surprises a lot of people.
Yes, that is another aspect that is very important and is also brought people together. You know, like on the, I remember getting into some interesting conversations on awaiting my turn to get my blood drawn. You know, donating blood, and you know, and one of our Starfleet members used to do that. You know, she was a volunteer and used to always find me and like, oh, it's time for you to sign up again, Bob. You
know? That's right. You're being volunteered.
Yes.
That's right. You're being shanghaied. But anyway, I just had to get that in there because it's something that a lot of folks don't know. You see, the folks who already have been joining us for a number of years, this is literally the very definition of preaching to the choir. But I always like trying to reach out to some folks, particularly younger folks, who may be listeners to your show, who maybe had heard about us but never went, or always felt that that was just too geeky and that they wouldn't be comfortable there. And I try to assure people that, yes, there are always a handful of people who may go a little bit over the top, just a little bit. But that's true in pretty much any form of fandom that you find out there, right? I always try to tell folks to, you know, to give it a chance. Go one day. And I almost guarantee you're going to have a good time and want to come back the next year. I've met very, very few people. And even if I wasn't doing this in my position with Shore Leave and everything, I would still praise the convention to the skies because, one, it's truth, okay? I'm not getting paid to say these things. We're all volunteers that we do, you know, we do this. And plus, I'm, as you can tell, I'm somewhat of a talker. Gee, what gave you that idea, right? So it's a perfect combination for me. But I've met very few people who have ever gone to their For Shore Leave and said, I knew this was garbage. I ain't coming back here. That don't happen too often.
No.
People generally have a ball. This happened to me a number of times last year. And, it seemed to me like they said they couldn't wait to come back next year. It's when people come to you after the convention, either personally or they send an email or they send something out on social media saying what a great time they had and the friends they made and how they're going to tell people to come next year. That is such a good feeling, let me tell you. This is why we do what we do on the committee. It makes all those thousands of hours of invested time and everything, you know, worth it to us because – I've often said that a whole lot of conventions, including a great many wonderful fan-run cons, have gone by the wayside over the years. Yet somehow, like the Energizer Bunny, we just keep going and going. So we must be doing something right. So as long as we physically can, and as long as people want us to do this, I guess that's what we're going to do, right? You know, somehow just, you know, Shore Leave just keeps moving on down the road.
And I know that it is in the perfect spot. I mean, at times we have definitely made a little fun of some of the change in the decor over at the Hunt Valley, and that's undergone a lot of changes over the year.
I know. About 10 or 12 years ago, they really changed the decor a lot. I remember something the great author Peter David said once. He said, how did he describe it? They funged when they should have swayed.
Oh, well, you're probably referring to what we call the Austin Powers era, where the rug looked like it was 3D. And one of our members went around and had brought a, you know, some 3D glasses just to go around and create the rumor
I
of.
I kept commenting at the time, it looked like something out of a Stanley Kubrick movie.
Yeah. I remember that too. And now we're in the horse era. Just seeing the saddles as I go down the escalator is still funny to me. But I guess it works, you know. But that's part of its charm, you know. One of the things that we would always do is look around the hotel and see, like, okay, what's changed now? You know, like, you know, there's something that's different, you know. So,
well, I'm sure when the Hunt Valley Inn was built, which I think was back in the 60s, I think, although I'm certainly not sure of that, I'm sure that area up there was much more wide open than it is now. It was probably meant to be out, you know, way out in the horse country and everything, hence the horse format to everything, right? And it was probably all wide open. There was probably very little else out there. Now it's very much built up in every possible direction. But what I really like about that location, despite the fact, you know, well, it helps to have the free parking. Believe me, you can't get that downtown, for sure. And that is that you are not in the inner city, so you don't have to worry about that. And you're not that far from being in wide open areas. So, and literally, if you hop on 83 and you go south, let's say you're here for a weekend and you're also doing other things besides the convention, you literally can drive for 20 minutes and have an event in the inner city and go to that. Or you can go north on 83 and in about 10 minutes, you know, be out there in upper Baltimore County and enjoy the beautiful countryside. So you're kind of like in that midway point, where folks who are coming in from out of town have all these different options of areas that you can go. And the fact that Hunt Valley Inn sits literally right up against I-83 makes it extremely easy to find. So it has great access in that sense.
Oh, and it's a beautiful trip down. I mean, you know, that beautiful, you know, overhang bridge that looks like you could look down forever, but it's so beautiful there. And Just looking at the different town names, you know, we get excited when, like, hey, we're getting closer. We just passed Little Gunpowder and Big Gunpowder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, State
but
Park.
We get
yeah,
Timonium. You know, Timonium.
But
like.
And one thing also about the way Shoreleaf is, I mean, I have to admit, when I was younger and going to the convention, I may not have even have been on the committee yet at the time. I was a helper with the parent organization long before I ever, you know, joined the committee. But there were times when I would used to say, oh, it's a shame that, you know, we can't be in a bigger hotel and we could sell more memberships and we could get bigger guests and all that kind of stuff, you know. And some people would say, why can't you get this guest or that guest and all that stuff. But as the years have gone on, I've really come to appreciate more the charms of having a smaller convention.
Yeah.
You know, there was a time when I would sort of rail against the larger professional conventions, you know. Oh, this convention gets 50,000 people and it's on Entertainment Tonight and it's on E! Entertainment Television and surely it doesn't get much of anything and that's not fair and I wish we were bigger and all that. But then you see how those big conventions are. All right.
Yeah.
And I don't disrespect them. Okay. They do an amazing job. They put on one heck of a show and I admire them tremendously. Okay. But the fact that we only really have a capacity of 1,500 people at any one time, that allows you to have, and I know this is not original, but it's the best of both worlds. You have enough of a crowd where you can get a buzz from the audience around you and feel the energy of the crowd. And you're small enough where you can actually interact with our guest stars, especially if the autograph line is a little slow at the moment. You know, you're not going to be pushed through an autograph line by some gigantic guy giving you the stare. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're probably going to be able to talk to somebody for 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes if you time it right, you know? And you've got guest stars who are not generally, although this has occasionally happened years ago, generally are not surrounded by teams of security, okay? Mm-hmm. You've got guest stars who are willing to sit in and help judge our masquerade, you know? You have that as well. Or they might just simply walk around the convention just for the heck of it, you know?
Yeah.
So you have enough of an audience where you get that excitement, but it's small enough where you can still talk to people and still be able to find a quiet corner somewhere and just talk. So, you know, could perhaps we do more by being in a larger hotel? And if we could, you know, draw larger guests by being able to sell more memberships and all, well, maybe. But it also would mean losing a big part of what Shore Leave would make Shore Leave unique. And that is you still have that ability to talk to people and have much more one-on-one time with our guest stars. So I think for what Shore Leave tries to do, the size, I think, is just about right, in my opinion. I mean, I'm hardly being objective here, of course, but that's honestly how I feel about it.
No, I agree with you 100%. I wouldn't want to see anything change. I mean, you know, even though we, you know, at times have kind of made fun a little of the hotel itself, but it's sort of we feel a little ownership to it as well. You know, it's part of the charm. You know?
Well, the Hunt Valley Inn has been literally our second home. Out of 43 conventions, including this year, not counting a couple of years we had to go virtual, that has been our home for all but two of the shows. Shore Leave One, which was at the Towson University Union Building, okay, in 1979. And the first one I went to, which was Shore Leave 8 in 1986, where we were at the Omni. That hotel isn't there anymore. It was called the Omni then, and that was 1986. Other than those two, we have always called the Hunt Valley Inn home, warts and all. And it is very much a second home to us. I mean, we probably know our way around that hotel probably better than our own homes.
Yeah.
I got another question for you, and I know we're running up against the time and everything. Are there any particular memories that either of you would like to share that really stand out to you over the years about an experience you had there, or a particular guest or somebody you ran across, or just some that unique that happened that you don't think you could see anywhere else?
Well, there's so many. It happened during the weekend, but not at the hotel. Bumping into Robert Picardo over at the Panera, you know, and kind of, you know, it was a crowded situation, but not necessarily, not everybody recognized him. But of course, we did, and we said, you know, we just kind of said, well, doctors always get a good seat, you know, and he kind of winked at us and him and stuff like that, and it was just, you know, I think. Also, John Barryman, when he was there, and the actress from Torchwood, whose name escapes me, who whipped out her cell phone to call him and say, you should come to the con the next year, and he did, was a lot. Was very funny. And just to see his antics, you know, trying to balance in a chair, and I've got a picture of him, you know, on the stage talking to this little boy. It was like priceless. And there's just so many little gems from things over the years. So, and even the streaming, the live streaming of Leonard Nimoy,
you know,
That's one I was going to mention. I remember they're having technical problems that year, and we couldn't hear each other, I don't think. But, yeah, we knew he was in bad shape, but we didn't know he would die just a few months after that. For some reason, I remember him singing Maiden Wine from Plato's Stepchildren with his grandson next to him on the guitar.
Yeah. On that note, I need to inform you guys that we have 5 minutes left. So if you're going to share last thoughts and share contact information, that would be great.
All right. Don't kill the messenger, right?
Well, I,
I was going to mention the Leonard Nimoy appearance, and also now this was back in 2019. This was right the year before COVID hit. Remember when Nichelle Nichols came that last time?
Yeah.
Well, she was already not in very good shape at the time, and she wasn't supposed to be at her table very much. You know, she stayed at that table almost the entire weekend, met everybody that wanted to meet her, okay?
Yeah.
And it was so incredible watching everybody from 5-year-olds to 80-year-olds come up to her to give her respect and say how much – he meant. I'm getting misty-eyed just thinking about it. And I don't know if you were there, but that was the year that we had Anson Mount and Ethan Peck there too. And I don't know if this was planned or not. They came over and sat on both sides of her. And it was just an absolutely amazing thing to see. That's called being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
And one year where Robert Picardo was there, maybe the last time he was here, a family member of his was having a really bad medical issue, okay? And we were collecting money for charity as we always did. The decision was made to take the money from that had been collected and give it to Robert Picardo's charity. And I could swear to you the guy very nearly broke down in tears on stage. You know? So this is the kind of thing that stands out to you, and it makes you very, very proud to have an association with that, you know? So these are the things, I mean, after, you know, going for 35 or whatever years, you know, I could go on for hours about it, but, you know, these are the kind of things that can happen at Shore Leave. So does anybody have any last-minute comments? One more question we can squeeze in. I know we're coming right up against the time and all. Been so much fun.
Well, we look forward to it. It's July 7th through the 9th over at the what's the official name of the hotel again?
I still call it Hunt Valley Inn. I think if you look outside, it says Hunt Valley Inn Delta Hotel by Marriott. Seems like every year it changes its name. So if you just keep to the Hunt Valley Inn, you can't go wrong. Keep reminding everybody, keep checking the website, shore-leave.com. We are on Facebook. We are on Twitter. We might also be Instagram. So we do have a footprint in the social media universe. All I can say is the time gets closer and closer. Just keep checking the website, particularly as it gets to be time to get that schedule up there so everybody can take a look at the schedule for this year. It'll be here before you know it.
Yep. www.shoreleave.com, and pre-registration closes on June 15th, so act now.
Yeah, we're actually going to extend that a couple extra days. I think it might be the 18th or 19th before it officially closes. But pre-registration will be closing off. We will have registrations available at the door, but please don't wait to the last second to show up because there might be a bit of a line.
Yep. All righty. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. And this year, I definitely got to make it a point to actually meet up with you. And I certainly look forward to it once again. And it's always
fun. It's going to be a fantastic show. It's going to be wonderful. I'm so very happy you guys gave me the chance to espouse on about the wonders of Shore Leave. I'm so glad you guys are coming. It's going to be a fantastic show. Oh, a personal favor, when this is done and everything, send me a link so I can pass it along to our committee, okay?
Absolutely.
So let me know when that's ready. But all right, you guys, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you for letting me ramble on. It's been fantastic. I look forward to seeing you all just a little bit down the road, okay?
Take care. Thank
you both, and great success with this year's Shore Leave.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, okay? So take care, and I'll see you again soon, all right?
Be well.
Okay.
All right. Take care. Thank you.